नानृतं तव तच्छापि यता मां प्रब्रवीषि भोः अविज्ञाय परं मत्त एतावत्त्वं यतो हि मे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम Whatever you have spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. Lord Brahma is speaking to Narada boy when in the previous series of verses we find Narada boy gradually building the subject about who is supreme. Generally the scriptures, because the scriptures are word of Lord himself, they are word of God. Even in Bible it is said word is word of God and the word is God, it is said. Which means, as it is said in Bhagavad Gita also, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam. The shabda brahma actually samudbhavam, akshara samudbhavam, it comes from the supreme personality of Godhead himself. So either it is spoken by the Lord or it is spoken by his devotees who are inspired by the Lord. And then it is called as Uttama Shloka. So there is no literature in the whole world where the presentation of the truths is so thoroughly made as we find in the scriptures. Like the scriptures just don't say, so and so is God, so you accept him. They just don't say. They always build the subject by making a comparative study of different living entities, and then ultimately bringing us to the point of understanding how the Supreme Lord is asamaurdhva. There is no one equal to him, there is no one greater than him. Like you find whenever Ramayana, Mahabharata, they talk about asuras and the Lord, they present it very powerfully, very interestingly, along with Ras, Chand, Alankar and everything, descriptively. And then at the point of conclusion, one will come to understand how great is the Lord. Like Kumbhakarna, for example, when he was sleeping, you know, so many soldiers were shouting, yelling, trying to wake him up. No, he was still not getting up. Then they're climbing on the body of Kumbhakarna. Then from the leg, they're climbing and walking over the thighs and over his hips and over his hands and shoulders, and a long army. That army had elephants, horses, camels, chariots, and many, many soldiers, foot soldiers, hundreds and thousands of them walking over the body of Kumbhakarna. Still he doesn't get up. And then they go near the ears and they play a trumpet. They play like that. And then Kumbhakarna, get up, they are shouting. And they are dancing on the ears of Kumbhakarna, trying to wake him up, making sound. And that fellow thinks a mosquito is troubling me. He picks up whoever is on his ears, he picks up and throws them away and turns around and sleeps on that side. So all the guys become chutney on the bottom. And again the other side they start climbing, other batch of soldiers. With great difficulty they wake him up. And then he becomes wild. Why did you wake me up? I was peacefully sleeping. And then as soon as he gets up, he is so thirsty and so hungry that he has to, eat huge, mountainous quantity of meat and drink wine. Because once he wakes up, he has to eat and drink a lot. And so much, huge mountain of meat is being supplied to him. And when he comes to the battle, it is said in one hand he would catch hundreds of people and put them in his mouth and chew them. Just like you chew the moong sprout. Like that he would catch 100. He would catch another 100 in the right hand and left hand and chew them. When he would laugh, the laughter was such, so thunderous. In the laughter only many people would die. Hearing that sound only. So the example is given like this, of Kumbhakarna, Ravana, such personalities, and how Lord Ram killed them very easily. So whenever we talk of the greatness of a certain person, and then in relation to him, when you hear about the Lord, then you can understand his greatness. Just like Hanuman. Hanuman, Angad also did it, I think. When they went to Ravana's palace, there are two different pastimes, one of Hanuman doing and one of Angada doing. Like they keep the foot on the ground and say, is there anyone in your court, Ravana, who can shake my foot? So many Pahlavans come there. Ultimately no one is able to move his feet. Ravana himself comes. Then he shakes his feet and ultimately even he's not even able to shake the thumb of foot of Hanuman. Then Hanuman says, you see, I am a tiny insignificant monkey in the army of Lord Ram. Like me, there are millions of monkeys. And all these monkeys are completely submissive to Lord Ram. And you can understand how powerful is Ram. So you find always comparison made like this. So after presenting a very, very powerful personality, in relation to him, when you understand who the Lord is, then you can know his greatness. Just like when Ravana once goes to the lower planetary systems, Patala Lokas, he comes across one Mahiravan. So he actually goes to Mahiravan for help, that I want to wage a battle with Lord Ram. So can you give me some suggestions, can you give me some ideas, can you give me some help? So Mahiravan gives him Sadupadesh. He tells him, he shows him like something like a huge tire, like we have a big tire, like that he shows a huge metallic tire kind of thing. And he shows him, do you know what it is? And he doesn't know. He says, first you try to move it. He's not even able to move it. He's not even able to lift it. And he says, this is the earrings of Hiranyakashipu. Earrings worn by Hiranyakashipu. Because just like sometimes people preserve their ancestors' valuables. So he had preserved that earring of Hiranyakashipu. He said, this is the gold earring used by Hiranyakashipu. And one more earring he was wearing on the other ears also. There are two earrings, such heavy earrings he was wearing. And that Hiranyakashipu was having a chest which was like a rock. Shila, Tanka Nakalaye. You see, no? Shila means like a shila, like a rock. And Lord Narasimha, he not only lifted his earring, but he lifted the whole body of Hiranyakashipu. Unimaginable. And he put it on his lap and he tore open his chest. Like an elephant tearing apart a sugar cane. Like that. So you can imagine how powerful Lord Narasimhadev must be. There is nobody equal to him. Nobody better than him in this whole creation. You are also a very famous asura. And you have killed so many asuras. But you can't even move this earring. Avyanyakashipu. And then Mahiravan told him, mind you, be cautious. Be well informed. Go back now and surrender to Lord Ram. Because the Lord Ram and Lord Narasimhadeva are non-different. Advaita Machyuta Manadi Mananta Rupam. It's the same Lord who has come. And don't be bewildered, he said. Better you surrender and you can save your life. Otherwise you will be finished. So, again here we find a comparison. He is comparing Ravana to Hiranyakashipu and he is proving Ravana how tiny you are and powerful, how powerful Hiranyakashipu is and how much more, far more powerful the Lord is. There is no comparison of anyone to the Lord. Better you surrender to him. Like that. Like Prabhupada says, you know, Bhishma Pitama was equivalent to 1,000 Arjunas. Prabhupada says in one place. So why he says that? Because Arjuna himself was very, very powerful. He was keeping the whole battle of Kurukshetra stunned. When Arjuna would come, he would throw volleys of arrows. You know, people could not even understand how he is sending the arrows. They would be constantly coming out of his bow. Nobody could stand Arjuna. But such Arjuna, in comparison to Bhishma, Prabhupada is making, That is not to insult Arjuna, but that is to explain how powerful was Bhishma and how Arjuna could defeat Bhishma by the empowerment given by Lord Krishna. That is the purpose. So the scriptures always make comparisons. Make comparison between one personality and another personality. And they illustrate, when the scriptures talk about the beauty of Rukmini, in order to illustrate the beauty of Rukmini, they say how many, many great, vicious, envious kings, they were on the back of elephants and horses, and they were watching when Rukmini, came out of the palanquin, went to Durga temple. When she came out, when Rukmini turned her face, her beauty was so great that they all fell off from their elephants. They fainted. And they fell off from their horses. So, the scriptures are very descriptive in their explanation, and in a very picturesque way they explain the truths so that it can enter deep into our hearts. It can help us understand or begin to understand what it means to be God, what it means to be Krishna, God. So here in this series of verses we find Narada boy, first he is putting the background, he is telling, my dear father, you appear to be like a spider who from his own mouth he is creating a beautiful spider web. And in the middle of the spider web he very comfortably sits without any difficulty. And his attempt to make the spider web is not thwarted by anyone. And although he has made the spider web and he is sitting comfortably, he never gets captured by the web. Many other flies get captured there. Isn't it? So he says that you seem to be a totally lonely person, individual person, and I don't see anybody offering you any help. I don't see, I don't see anybody equal to you even. I am just observing all around the world. You are creating all the species of life. So he says that and everything looks to be like a walnut in your hands. If you have a watermelon in your hands, you can't hide it. You can see it. Or if you have an apple or something in the hand, it's in your grip. Like that the whole universe is in your grip. So I can understand that because I don't see anyone besides you, I think you must be God. He concludes like that. And in this way, he is talking about the prowess of Brahma in the previous verses. And he also offers reasons why he considers him to be supreme in all these verses. And then Brahma begins to reply from the previous verse onwards. He says, Samyak karanikasyedam vatsati vichikichitam. He is saying, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. He is thanking him that by asking this question to me, you have helped me to think of Krishna. So your questions are wonderful. See, these verses are so deep. For example, you ask a devotee, some department head, Prabhuji, what to do about this? Can I go ahead doing it? And the department says, yeah, you can go ahead. What's the problem? Prabhuji, better consult your senior. Consult your superiors. He says, do you think my senior knows better than me? I am telling you, do it. Why do you expect me to consult my senior? What does he know? He is not in the field. I am in the field. I am a hands-on man. I am a hands-on man handling this situation. I know things better. You do what I am telling you. So you will find in the material world, people never like to remember their masters. They like to consider themselves the master. You go to any place, if there is a material consciousness, the subordinates always tell everyone that I am the in charge here and I am in control. And somebody knows also, but I heard that there is somebody above you and everything. What are you talking? That fellow once in a blue moon comes here. And he doesn't know also. Whatever I say, he signs, that's all. You just show a paper, he will sign and go away. That's all. Actually, the real person who is in charge is me only. So they talk like this in any place. And the man in the top, you ask him, sir, what about this? Who is running the show? He will say, I am running the show. And what about that? Oh, they are all chota mota. They don't do anything. They simply follow me. Like, you know, yesterday we had gone to meet a man. So he was telling, sab log mera sunte hain. Main jinko bolta hun, wo mujhe sunte hain. Yeh dukaan mein jo neeche hai na, wo bhi sunta hai mera. Aur wo jo hai, wo thoda, pahle thoda takrar karta tha, abhi usko bhi main daba diya, usko bhi. Abhi wo bhi sunta hai mera. To abhi is colony mein, society mein, koi nahi hai jo mera baat nahi sunega. So this is the tendency in the material world. Everyone thinks how much control I have over the other people and how much people accept me as the tiny supreme personality of Godhead, you know, in their own society or in their own circle. Everyone wants, and everyone who is given some position wants to prove to others that I am in control. So Prabhupada says, Prabhupada says in a purport, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives even more extension of this in one of the Bhagavatam purports. He says that sometimes, you know, these dogs, they are sitting in the street. Sometimes a dozen dogs are sitting in the street. They are sleeping. But if one trespasser is passing by, suddenly one of the dogs got disturbed a little bit. Like that it starts, you know. Immediately you will find all the dogs will start. Everyone will start immediately. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everyone will stand up. Nobody knows why they are shouting. They all will shout. Similarly, he says that in Kamsa's jail, you know, there were many, many watchmen waiting outside. You know, and Vasudeva was there, Devaki was there, and Krishna was born. You know, immediately the chains broke apart, asunder. They were torn asunder, and the door of the jail opened, and Vasudev carried Krishna in a basket. He went out, all the fellows are peacefully sleeping. And then he kept Krishna by the side of Yashoda and brought the Yogamaya and brought the child, female child back, and put the female child by the side of Devaki. And then again the doors were closed, and again the chains came in his hand. And then Yogamaya, in order to begin the pastime, how long she will be sleeping? She has come for a special purpose. And then the Yogamaya child, she started to give out a cry. As soon as she gave a cry, immediately the watchman stood up. And just like the sleeping dogs, they get up. They just started. Hey, the child is born now. Immediately they went to Kamsa, who never slept because he knew that the eighth child is going to be born. They went and told Kamsa. So the watchmen were very proud that we are the jailkeepers of Kamsa and we are very watchful, we are watchmen. But they actually slept off at the appropriate time. When Krishna was born, they slept off. Now also they are waking up on whose inspiration? Yogamaya's inspiration. So it is Yogamaya or it is Mahamaya, both are the same person only. It is Maya who makes them think we are the jailkeepers. It is Maya who makes them think we are powerful jailkeepers, that we are keeping the jail and we are giving information to our king and we are barking watchdogs, like that. But actually they are simply play toys in the hands of Maya, Yoga Maya. In the same manner, in this world also, as soon as we are born, we are a child. Like when I came to my, probably, you know, 8th or 10th standard, once my father caught me by my hand and took me, come, I will show you how much property we have. So he took all the houses we have and lands we have. So I was very proudly thinking, I am the owner of all this property. We tend to think like that, because generally fathers hand over the property to the children. Let me see. So parents actually feed aham and mamata into their children. So they actually make them think, you are the owner of this. You are the Swami. Actually, with little intelligence we can understand that actually nobody is Swami in this world. We come with a naked body and go back with a naked body. We don't carry anything. But in between, we see some patch of land which is marked in our name and we have the papers and we claim it to be ours. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, we are simply watchmen for Krishna's property, but we behave like watchdogs, he says. Like a watchdog, the dog in the street, he is not owning any house or any lane, but he keeps on barking, barking until he dies. Anybody who is passing by, he keeps barking, barking. Similarly, we also stay by the side of a land and claim it to be ours, keep on barking, fighting with many people, and one day we die and go, not carrying the land with us. Either he says. So in this world, everyone claims such proprietorship and swamitva. So just see the material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Every person, he feels intimidated or inhibited in his life when he sees that my superior or my master, my boss interferes in my life. So everyone wants independence in this world. That wanting of absolute independence is material consciousness. Because even in the spiritual world, the living being completely depend on Krishna. Although Krishna gives them independence, they like to depend on Krishna. The Pancha Pandavas, they are depending on Krishna. You'll find that Prahlad Maharaj is depending on Krishna. But wanting absolute independence is wanting to become God. So the living entities desire absolute independence. That is why they proclaim, you go to a government office and remind someone about his boss, you will become his enemy immediately. He will say that, you know, you don't understand things, how things work in our office. I am completely independent fellow, you are talking about my boss. Kya, akal nahi, you know, they will say, he doesn't have any intelligence. He will say, I am sitting here, I am sitting at the table, I am signing, why are you talking about my boss? You will become very unpopular. Yeah, and you talk about him, sir, you are the person in charge, you are doing everything. You are the person who signs papers, you are the person who grants permissions, you are be all, you are end all. And you will say, hum karke denge aapko kaam, don't worry. हम हैं आपके लिए, चिंता नहीं करना. हम हैं, आई एम देयर. यू हैव सीन दैट. सो दिस इज द मेंटालिटी. या यू टॉक अबाउट हिम एंड योर सबॉर्डिनेट्स इज वेरी हैप्पी, यू टॉक अबाउट योर सुपीरियर्स इमीडिएटली फिनिश्ड, इट्स प्रॉब्लम. बट ब्रह्माजी हियर एक्सिबिट्स द ऑपोजिट बिहेवियर, कंप्लीटली ऑपोजिट बिहेवियर. एज सून एज नॉट ओनली ब्रह्मा, यू फाइंड इवन यमराज ऑल्सो. When Yamaraj was told by Yamadutas that, my dear master, we thought you are our master and you are the supreme. And when we went to capture Ajamila and bring, you know, we were thwarted in our attempt. And we were driven away by some very bright personalities, Vishnudutas. And then, till date we were thinking you are the supreme God. Now we have come to know that there is somebody besides you. Why did you cheat us? Why? You have humiliated us like this. And Yamaraj didn't say, no, I am the supreme. He never said. He told them, yes, indeed, there is a supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Narayana, above me. And I am accountable to him. And my area of jurisdiction is only the sinful living entities, not others. Those who are pious and those who are spiritual minded, they all are under custody of the Lord. They are not under our custody. My area of operation is only very small, only this area. And all of you are my assistants and we are working together. And Lord Narayana is supreme and nobody should ever try to touch his devotees. And by trying to capture Ajamila, you all have done a great blunder. Immediately he kneeled down and he folded palms, praying to Lord Narayana. He begged forgiveness and he taught his servants how to surrender to Lord Narayana. Like that, that was the consciousness of Yamaraj. In the same manner, see, this is a very befitting behavior of a great soul. You find Brahmaji here, as soon as he was reminded of Krishna, as soon as his son is saying, my dear father, I am thinking you are the supreme God, there is no one besides you, you are alone and you are creating everything here in this world. So after having observed all these things very scientifically, with my microscope and telescope and everything, I have come to a conclusion that there is no one besides you. You are the ultimate. And then Brahmaji is glorifying his son for asking this question. He is saying, your question has made me remember my master. my supreme personality of Godhead. So your questions are very auspicious, he says. Because remembering my master will make me humble. Remembering my master will keep me on my hands and toes. Because I know that there is someone to whom I am accountable. There is someone to whom I am supposed to render all my services. There is someone in whose hands I am simply a play toy or an instrument. So by remembering that, I will always not become proud. So he is thanking him for asking this question. And then he is giving answer to his question. So subsequently there will be one more verse where he will say, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudeva vasudeva yadimahi yanmayaya durjaya mam vadanti jagadguru. He will say, he will be almost chastising Narada boy. Generally, I was telling you, in the material world, people chastise someone because of not accepting their greatness. Whereas Brahma is chastising him for overestimating his greatness. You understand this point? If somebody comes and asks me, Prabhuji, one man was asking, Prabhuji, मैंने सुना कि ये Pune project के area आप ही है ना सब कुछ है ना. I remember when it was 98 or something, somebody came and asked me. Then I told him, हाँ मैं ही president, मैं ही अध्यक्ष हूँ, मैं ही sign करता हूँ सब. I was telling. Later after 2-3 years, another man asked the same question, Prabhuji, ये पूरे Pune मंदिर जो है इसका आप ही हैं, ये asked me. नाट दर से नहीं नहीं मैं नहीं हूँ, दो जीबी से हैं मेरे ऊपर, मैं उनको अकाउंट देता हूँ. वो ठीक है, हाँ, लेकिन मैंने सुना वो कभी कभी आते हैं, लेकिन आप ही हैं इधर, है ना. लेकिन वो कभी कभी आते हैं, लेकिन जो भी मुझे करना उनसे परमिशन लेता हूँ मैं. सो टू बिग मोटा साधु हैड कम फ्रॉम नॉर्थ इंडिया. सो सम वन ऑफ अवर ब्रह्मचारीज इनोसेंटली, you know, thought that they are sadhus and Radhisham is sadhu, so sadhu can meet and have association or something. So they brought these two mota sadhus to the office, to my office, you know. So I was sitting, and then these two guys immediately barged in, they were sitting, and they were so cunning. You can see their cunningness from their eyes, from the movements on their hands and body and everything. They were very cunning. So they were telling, they knew little bit English, broken English. Then they asked me, Ji, aap hi hai na adhyaksh na iske, iskon Pune ke? I said, I'm adhyaksh, ha. Then I said, lekin mere upar GPC se magara, and I told them. Then they said, Prabhuji, hum idhar se aaye, hum yatra mein ja rahe hain, aap to international sanstha hai aap, isliye aap se hum kuch apeksha karte hain ki hamari yatra ke liye aap vyavastha kare, train ki ticket kare, kapde de, ye de, wo de. So they were expecting some 5,000 rupees donation from me. Then I said, nahi, hum aapko prasad de sakte hain, bas prasad paakar aap chale jaiye, dusra kuch nahi de sakte hain. Mere paas ye nahi hai, I don't have the freedom to decide on these things. So then that fellow was telling, lekin hame maalum hai Prabhuji, chabi ka guchha to aapke paas hi hai. You have the key bunch with you for the whole thing. Kajana ke chabi ka kuch aapke haath hai. Aapke bolne, aap jo bolte hain, usko sab log maante hain. Aap to sare logon ko nachate ho idhar. So he was trying to, you know, give a boost to my ego. You understand, no? Give a boost so that he can inflate my ego balloon. Yes. I am the one. Yes. You understood very nice. And then I will release the money. That's the idea. So you can see how the material world goes on. So I told them, you are a sadhu, you should behave like a sadhu. Speak truthfully, don't be cunning. Then they got frightened after that. I said, you know, you cannot. And I told, in ISKCON, we offer post and positions only for service, not for lording over other people. That is not the purpose for which you accept the post. We accept money, power, we accept position, we may command people, but ultimately the goal is to render service to Krishna. But you guys are talking like karmi people, materialistic people, like politicians. Unless you give up your political nature, you can never make advancement in your spiritual life. I gave them sadhupadesh, gave them prasadam and send them off after that. So they must have learned a good lesson that day. After this. So when we whenever we find in the world that if somebody's position is little bit more boosted, they may feel more happy. If you tell them that you are all in all, they feel so much happy. Here Brahma actually is chastising him. He is saying, Yen Mayaya, Durjaya, Mamadanti Jagadurume, you are saying I am the supreme controller? You are in Maya. He told him. You read this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Everyone is like that. Narada is going from one devotee to another devotee. On one hand, you find two types of behavior in every devotee. First behavior you see, they will be scolding Narada also. Hey, what are you saying about me? You don't understand anything. They will scold him. And another behavior is they will glorify another devotee. Yeah. Then he goes to the next one. It's very interesting. So they derive, they derive great delight in glorifying others. On the other hand, it is said for a pure devotee, glorification is like a snake bite. It is said, he feels like a snake bite. Actually, for us, scolding is like snake bite. Glorification is like nectar. And he scolds him, Yen Maya, he says. Those people who are in illusion, Maya, they think that I am the supreme, foolishly. They cannot see that I am simply a puppet in the hands of a puppeteer, who is my master, Krishna. Like that. And then, so on one hand, Brahma is happy that you are reminding me of my master. On the other hand, he scolds Narada Bhai because he feels very much humbled by this false glorification. He feels it's unbefitting him. So he scolds him. Now, in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says about how, you know, Narada seems to be bewildered, Arjuna seems to be bewildered, and while asking these questions. Prabhupada gives a very simple example in regard to this. He says, when a girl is newly married and she comes to her in-law's house, she doesn't know how to do service. Say, for example, she's a software engineer. She knows how to work in a computer, but she doesn't know how to serve prasadam. You know, when she goes to the kitchen, this is the first time she is going to kitchen. And she's bringing the rice and putting small quantity of rice in one corner. And she brings the bendi sabji and puts a big quantity of sabji in the center. And mother-in-law is watching all these things. She's thinking, what nonsense. This girl, she doesn't know how to serve. She's not at all well informed. And the mother-in-law wants to chastise. But mother-in-law is an intelligent lady. She will not chastise daughter-in-law because she knows. Even right from the beginning, they have to be a little extra cautious. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Because the quarrel can come very easily. So what she does, she tells her daughter also, you also serve. And while the daughter is serving, daughter serves properly. But she chastises the daughter. You foolish girl, you put so much sabji in the center. You put little rice in the corner. Are you not well informed? Then who hears this? The new daughter-in-law thinks, thank God, she didn't know that I was the one who did it. I did the mistake, and who got the scolding? Her daughter got the scolding. Next time, the daughter-in-law becomes extra cautious while serving. So in this way, she teaches her daughter-in-law through her daughter. So the same analogy Prabhupada gives, explaining that Krishna teaches the envious conditioned living entities by using his devotees as an instrument. Because devotees, they are ready to do any type of drama that Krishna may want them to do. Whether it be Narada or Arjuna, they don't mind. My dear Lord, you want to scold me, you can scold me. You want to embrace me, you can embrace me. And you want to beat me up, you can beat me up. Like Advaita Acharya wanted to be beaten up by Lord Chaitanya. So devotees, Ashtishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam, that is a platform. So knowing that well, the Lord uses the devotees to teach the conditioned souls. Like you see in Bhagavad Gita, at the beginning, Arjuna is weeping, crying, and Krishna is scolding him. Ashochanan, Vashochastam, Prajna, Vadashabhashase. He's calling him as Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam, Akirtikaram Arjuna. So it becomes very interesting for us because somebody is getting scolding and we are a third party watching. Imagine if the Lord Krishna speaks in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, you reader of Bhagavad Gita, you are an illusion. You are a madman because you are thinking you are the body. You will immediately close the book and throw it away. Isn't it? We will not want to read anymore. Hare, this reader is giving scolding, you know, why should I read? No? But somebody is getting scolding, everyone becomes interested. I would like to know more. What more he scolded? No? Yeah. And then in between the scolding, gives some good lesson also. You are not the body, you are the soul and everything. So, in the same way, Narada boy, he is acting like a boy. He is not an ordinary boy. He is a great sage. He is a great devotee. But he is acting like a illusion person asking question. See, one reason could be that Narada was put into Yogamaya and he asked these questions for the welfare of the whole world. That's one possibility. Another possibility is, sometimes Jan Bujkar, knowingly, some great devotees ask very basic questions. Like sometimes a Maharaja is giving class, and then after the class is over, some very well-informed devotee, mature devotee may ask a question. Maharaj, you said like this, how do we understand this? It's like that and all that. And all the people in the hall may be thinking, yeah, this was a good question. I also have this question, only I was shy to ask it. Isn't it? Like the other day we had a seminar by Jaya Swami on higher taste. Now everyone knows this fact, that if you get higher taste, you can give up the lower ones. Is there anyone here who doesn't know it? Even an LKG child knows this. Truth. If you get higher taste in Krishna consciousness, you can give up sense gratification. Correct? Everyone knows it. So that part when Maharaj was speaking, everyone understood. And then Maharaj was also speaking about the how the lower taste is miserable. That also everyone knows. And some know by experience, some know by hearing. Everyone is aware of it. Lower taste gives misery. Higher taste gives enjoyment. Everyone knows. Now at the end of the class, everyone has one question which nobody will ask. What is the question? If I don't get higher taste and I am still hovering on the lower taste and I am struggling with my mind and senses, then what am I supposed to do? Practically 99% of the people will have this question, but who will ask? Nobody will ask. Why? Because it's a question of ego problem. Somebody will come and ask, Babaji, you still have lower taste or what? I thought you are a very advanced soul. Isn't it? So if some senior devotee is asking, Maharaj, I am still struggling with my mind and senses and how I can advance in spiritual life, and how I can get the higher taste, can you please tell us? Then his answer becomes auspicious for everyone. It becomes beneficial to everyone like that. So one may ask a question for the welfare of others. But we should always never think that I will ask for others only always. We can ask for ourselves also. We should never think I am asking for others' sake. Many times we ourselves are struggling with the problem. But the point is, sometimes people like Narada or like Arjuna, they may ask question for others' sake. Yeah. Great devotees may ask question. If nobody is asking question, another third possibility is, if a whole class is keeping mum, they are dumbfounded, nobody is asking questions, still there is half an hour time, then a senior devotee may trigger a question, which will actually give more confidence to all the audience, and then they may start asking questions. You may ask like that. So, devotees like Narada or Arjuna, they are never illusioned at all. They are asking questions for our benefit, Prabhupada explains. And Prabhupada also explains this frog in the well analogy to show what is the consciousness of a materialist. How puny-minded, how narrow-minded a materialistic person is. Like for example, Prabhupada tells the story of a frog which earlier used to live in Atlantic Ocean. Somehow it got off in the Atlantic Ocean and came to a well in the nearby village. So the well was a small well. So the frog jumped into the well and then he encountered another frog who has been always living in the well. So then both of them had a dialogue. So that frog in the well was asking this fellow, hey, where have you come from? He said, I'm coming from Atlantic. He said, Atlantic? So Atlantic is another well? He asked him. He said, no, it's an ocean. He said, Really? How big is the ocean? He said, certainly incomparable to what you are living. This is a tiny, puny place. And then this frog was saying, see, my well is measuring some 12 feet. How many feet do you think Atlantic would measure? So that frog said, measuring with your scale, 1 feet scale, you just cannot measure. It's immeasurable, it's vast. It's a very vast ocean. So then this frog was swelling his body. This much big, this much big. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It got burst after that. So one is, as Prabhupada says, the frog in the well is compared to your scientist who always comes with a screw gauge and vernier caliper and asks, where is God? Tell me, what is his size? How can I measure him? Or his telescope? Can I see with him with the telescope? Because they are speculators. They want to capture everything within their instruments. So they are called as the Mr. Frog. Because the spiritual world is very vast and very great in many respects. For example, the frog was asking this frog, you know, in summer when the water goes down, at least I have 2 feet height water in this well. How about Atlantic? What happens in summer there? This fellow said, summer or winter or spring or autumn, it doesn't matter. Always there is abundant water. There's unlimited water. He said, how is it possible? How is unlimited possible? When my well becomes limited, how can your well be unlimited? So he was asking like that. Because the description about spiritual world says like that. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu surabhi rabipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shata sambrama sevyamanam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So it is said that the spiritual world is made up of chintamani gems. All the dust particles are all chintamani. They are all glowing, shining, like in sunlight. And all the buildings are made up of chintamani stones. Recently I was reading about the palaces of Dwaraka, Krishna's palace, visited by Narada. When Narada went to the first, entered into Dwaraka, he found that the whole of Dwaraka was having such beautiful gardens and parks, and the parks were filled with flowers, like different varieties of flowers. There were lakes also where there were ducks and cranes and swans, and the lakes were full of blue and red lotuses and lilies. They were all making chirping sounds very beautifully, and the roads were all beautifully made. On either side there were huge trees, and the buildings were all shining and attractive, and amongst them Krishna's palaces were the best. So he went to one of the Krishna's palaces. The staircase was all made of pure white marble. And as he climbed up, he saw, when he went in, he saw the flooring and all were made of emerald, and the pillars were made of coral, and the seats were made of ivory, inlaid with gold and silver and diamond and such kind of precious metals, Navaratnas and things like that. And there was so much profuse incense, which was burned in the palace, which was coming out through the marble windows like a smoke. And seeing that, the peacocks became very fascinated, thinking that that's a cloud in the sky. They started opening their wings and cawing. Kyo! They make sound, and they were all making sounds and opening their wings. Narada was laughing, seeing all this. So when he went in, he saw that Krishna was seated on an elevated couch along with Rukmini. He was in a swing. So Krishna immediately got up from his seat and came and offered obeisances to Narada. And he made Narada sit in a seat and washed his feet and glorified him and all that. Then he went to another palace where he saw Lord Krishna sitting with Uddhava, along with another queen. Again Krishna came and offered obeisances and everything. So Narada was seeing the Aishwarya or opulence of Krishna's palaces. And he was completely stunned. So such a description is there in the scripture about the spiritual world. Or when the Lord comes to the material world, here also it manifests in this material world also. So when common people hear, they say, oh, we can't believe it. How can such things exist? Why you can't believe it? Because I cannot live like that. So God also cannot live like that. I cannot lift Govardhan Hill. So God also cannot lift Govardhan Hill. It's exactly a Mr. Frog mentality. Mr. Frog says, if I am living in a small well, how can you come from a vast ocean? You must be living in another small well. Your place also has to be a well only. It cannot be any bigger than my well. That is their argument. Because in spiritual world, the cows give unlimited supply of milk. And any time of the day, you want, you can get milk. And the trees are all Kalpavriksha trees. You can get any fruit you want. If you want mango, amaras you can get throughout the year. Every day you can drink amaras in spiritual world. How wonderful, isn't it? Amaras is so delicious. And you won't have any stomach problem also. When you won't have any heat. And that is spiritual world. So, when people hear this, they think, you know, how is it possible? All seasons you get mango, and the cow keeps giving milk, and the desire tree can give. They think it's imagination. How can a tree give anything that you desire? Because they just have no information at all. So, Prabhupada says this, Mr. Frog cannot conceive of anything beyond his comprehension. Everything he knows is within his own speculative brain, that's all. Even material world cannot be measured with a tiny brain. Once Einstein gave a challenge to scientists. He asked, can you say whether there is an end for this universe or there is no end for this universe? So everyone took the telescopes and went to the top of the building and tried to. Nowadays they have very, very powerful telescopes which can reach long distances, but nobody can come to the end of the universe. When you look at the sky, you don't know where does it end. It is beyond our brain to conceive. It goes on and on and on distance. No aeroplane can reach the end of the universe. Like he says, no? Pantastu koti shata vatsara sampragamyo vayo rathapi manaso munipungavanam. Munipungava are the leaders of the munis. Even by stretching their mind to the limits, they cannot expect to reach the end of the universe or even go beyond it and reach the lotus feet of Krishna. If at all they do, they can only see the shining toenail of Krishna. Nothing beyond that. That's why this frog in the well analogy is given. Similarly, we find the spiritual consciousness is very complex subject for the common man. Like, you know, once when I was going in the train distributing books, so I was speaking in English, so one fellow asked, you know, what did you study? Are you from India? Then I said, I'm from India. Then he asked, what did you study? I told him, I am from IIT Bombay, M.Tech. So he was almost about to faint. Very shocked. He stood up from his place and then he made me sit. He said, you have wasted one seat of IIT. You know, such a great disservice, you know. First he was scolding me. And then he was telling all the people around, you know, what are his opinions and everything. And then he asked me, okay, that is all right. You are distributing these books. How much commission you get? Per book. I said, we don't take any commission. No, don't tell lies. You know, he said, IIT boys, they are going abroad and earning so much money. He must be getting something through this business. I said, what will you do with currency notes? You know, currency note you cannot eat. That's not going to satisfy you. We do it as a service to our guru and parampara for the pleasure of Krishna. It just couldn't cross his head at all. It was too much for him to digest. He said, I will come and find out one day what you guys are getting. I said, that is a very good idea. You can surely come. Then you will also start dissipating one day when you get the taste, isn't it? So, many times the karmi's mind works like this only. Their mind works because they always are like a frog in the well. They cannot see anything outside the well. Because they think, I cannot work for a company unless it gives me salary. How can this fellow work? That is the way they make calculation. And if I am educated, I would be going abroad. Why this fellow is not going abroad and making more money? How can this fellow live? They calculate from their point of view only. But spiritual life doesn't work like that. Spiritual life, that's why the example of Atlantic and well Prabhupada gives. Towards the end, there is one more important theme. In conclusion, Prabhupada talks about how great kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj, although pious and having a character even better than Krishna, he says. He was like Lord Ramachandra in piety. But Yudhishthira is never called as God by anyone. Because in the Vedic literature, very clearly it's mentioned who is the Purushottama, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedas never misunderstand a common man to be God. At all. Like in South India, when MGR passed away, they made a temple for MGR. M.G. Ramachandra. Some boys in South India, they worship Bruce Lee. They show Agarbatti for Bruce Lee. Of course, you can show Agarbatti and a lamp for a guru when you are performing Guru Puja. You can do for a great Vaishnava who is representing the Acharyas down the line and who is representing Krishna. But we don't worship the guru as God. We worship him as a representative of God. Whereas foolish people make any Tom, Dick and Harry to be God and make a temple for them. Like Prabhupada says here. So, we have to be very cautious not to be misled by the manufactured gods. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful conversation between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvam Bhattacharya. One Sarvam Bhattacharya was telling Gopinath Acharya that, see, you are my brother-in-law. So, don't think I am quarrelling with you. I don't want to quarrel with you. We are just having a friendly discussion. But I am going to argue with you based on scriptures. And he said, I see that you people are all Vaishnavas calling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God. But I cannot believe in it. Of course, I do agree that he is a very great saintly devotee. He is a great devotee of God. But I cannot accept him as God. I'll substantiate what I am saying with reasons, he said. According to the scriptures, the Lord is called as Triyuga. Triyuga means he appears only in three yugas. He doesn't appear in Kali Yuga at all. When Krishna doesn't appear in Kali Yuga, then how can you claim Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be personality of Godhead? How is it possible? Then Gopinath Acharya in reply, actually Gopinath Acharya became a bit angry also. Because he was not accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he was. So actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's behavior is very amazing. Whenever somebody would call him as Krishna, he would immediately plug his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Don't call me as God. He used to say, Sannyasi Chitkanaji Kiranakana Sama. Sannyasi or a great soul is a Kiranakana Sama, means is a small Kiran of Surya. But as soon as a living being claims to be God, then he says, Dande Tare Yama. He says, he deserves to be beaten by Yamaraja's Danda. He says, So, Jiva is Maya. Krishna is Maya Adish. Krishna is, there are two names Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. One is, one who is Atit to Maya, one who is beyond Maya. Maya Vash and Maya Adish, he says. Maya Vash, he says, in that verse. You know that verse? And Jiva is Maya Vash, and Krishna is Ish of Maya also. He says that. So see, in this way Mahaprabhu behaves, but although he behaves, still he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? That was told by Gopinath Acharya. So Gopinath Acharya told him that it is true that the Leela avatars appear only in three yugas. Like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha and all those avatars. Leela avatars don't appear in Kali Yuga at all. But there is something called as Yuga avatar. Yuga avatar means every yuga has avatar. And the Yuga avatar for this age is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he said, how can you ignore the important scriptures like Mahabharata and Bhagavatam? In Mahabharata, there is Vishnu Sahasranam placed there. In that Vishnu Sahasranam, one of the names of Vishnu says that Vishnu becomes a sannyasi. Sannyasagat samashanta nishtha shanti parayana suvarnavarna hemango varangas chandanangadi. So he quoted that verse. And he said, Lord Vishnu has a body glowing like sun, glowing like a sun, suvarna varna hemango. Hemanga means the golden complexion. And that is also confirmed by Garga Rishi. And Garga Muni told during the naming ceremony of Krishna and Balram, he said, Rakto, Pitas, Tata, Shukla, Shuklo. Three colors he said, Shukla, Rakta, Pita, three colors. Shukla is white, Rakta is red, and Pita is yellow. So Lord also has the yellow color form. Just like Lord Ram is green color form, and Krishna is blackish form, bluish black, and yellow color form is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He quoted that. And he said, Suvarna Varna Hemango, Varangas Chandanangadi. And then he said, Sanyasakrit means Vishnu becomes sannyasi. You go and ask any Sri Vaishnava, oh, what is this pastime of Vishnu becoming a sannyasi? You can go and ask. This will put them to thinking. Because you know, Vishnu never becomes sannyasi unless he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only personality where he becomes a sannyasi. Sanyasakrit samaha shanta, which means he is equipoised. Nishtha shanti parayana, he silences the monis. He says, he shuts the mouth of the mayavadis, it says. So he quoted that, and he also quoted that famous verse from Bhagavatam, Krishna varanam tushakrishnam sangopangasya parshadam. So Lord Krishna comes as Chaitanya and Kali Yuga, and he comes in a different color, which is yellow color, along with his associates and with the weapon of the holy name. And his beauty is also the weapon. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya is so great that simply by his beauty, by his touch, and by his inspiration, the jivas can become attain Krishna Prema. And then it says, Varanga Chandranagal, Sanya, there it says, Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sangopanga Saparsham Yajnai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedasaha. He said, he will be propagating the holy name, and those who join his mission are called as Sumedashaha. The truly wise people will join his mission, he says. So, actually, I'm only telling you half of what he said. There are many more things he says, one after other. After quoting all these things, Gopinath Acharya told them, you are a dry logician. What is the use of my speaking to you? And he said, if I sow a seed on a barren ground, it's not going to produce any crops. Similarly, your disciples are all mere dry logicians. And they are not going to understand the greatness of Lord Chaitanya by their mental speculation. They will only understand him by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, one who has achieved the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only can understand him. Then Bhattacharya challenged him, how do you say that you have achieved the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And then he said, the person who has achieved his favor can understand who he is in reality. Of course, we can also refer to scriptures. It's not that we are told to blindly accept somebody as God, but we should see the scriptures substantiating the truth. But after hearing the scriptures, still sometimes the intellect may be convinced, but the heart is not convinced for many people. And the heart will be convinced only when one gets the Karunya Kataksha of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like what Gopinath Acharya got, and which was obtained by Sarvam Bhattacharya also later. That's why he wrote this famous poem, Navagauravaram, he wrote, which is in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should exercise the same caution in not accepting anybody as God. And we should openly speak about it. When we meet people, although we don't want to condemn any particular so-called incarnation, when we are meeting outside people, don't ridicule people or mock at people. Because if you are going to ridicule people, their heart will be broken. Somebody is claiming to be Jagannath and is saying, my sister is Subhadra and my brother is Balaram. So, if you see somebody is caught up by that moment, we should find out how to bring them out. Or somebody is calling some lady to be Durga, Amma, or somebody is calling some man to be Vishnu. There is one group in Bombay, bam bam bole, they sing like that. So that fellow, in newspaper you will find him giving a darshan along with Ananta Shesh. He has artificial Ananta Shesh made up with thermocol. And he is standing and giving pose like Vishnu, Yeah, he advertises in a very big advertisement in newspaper, So there are many people like this. So if you laugh at them, they will run away. Without laughing, you have to tolerate your laughter. and bring them to Krishna. Huh? Try to bring them, yeah. So Prabhupada, very powerful in his, that is why we say, how Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarani. Prabhupada very thoroughly smashed Mayavad, Shunyavad, and this kind of self-made gods. Openly Prabhupada condemned them. So our purpose of condemnation to be to make them into a devotee. Like Gopinath Acharya could make Sarvamata Acharya into a devotee. That was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu told him later once, you are telling me that I made him devotee. You only made him devotee, he said. Because you are such a sweet devotee, by your inspiration, Bhattacharya also has become a devotee. Like that he said. Simply defeating people and driving them away is not our goal. Especially when we are establishing the truth. The truth should be established in such a way that people become inspired and convinced and surrender to the Lord. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, aur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.